Once again, good morning. Last Sunday, we started a teaching on the theme, God's Reflection. God's Reflection. Last Sunday, we took the topic, Understanding Images. We tried to describe what images are. It's a picture of something. That is what an image is. A picture of something or the reality of someone. An image. So, as you are, you're an image. You represent something. So, as I stand, I'm an image that represents Ayodelia Diu. And that is my name. And then, I also represent different interests. The interest of your family. And that is why they tell you, don't spoil the image of this family. Where you have somebody who is doing things that the family does not appreciate, they call him or her and say, please remember, we have a name. We have an image. Don't spoil it. Because it's a reflection of that family. It shows people that this is who this family is. That's why they tell you the image of our family. And the same way it applies in organizations. You hear things like the image of the company is at risk. Why? Because somebody in the company has done something. And so people who have seen it from outside will begin to read meaning to what the person did as the view, as their opinion about that business. And so you hear things like, don't put the reputation or the image of our company at risk because you represent the interest of that company at that time. So we've taken time last week to look at images. We said a reflection is a throwback or a cast back of light or sound over a body or a surface without absorbing it. So it comes, it bounces, and it's reflected back. And that is the same technology that works for the photocopying machine, for the photography business. It's the same technology. It's a reflective nature of light that we see. So when they take your picture, your image is reflected and is saved on the device, such that they can now come back to access it. In the past, we used to use film. You're going to have to buy a film and put it in the camera. And so the reflection is saved on the film. Then you take the film to the lab and they wash it out and they wash it on the print paper and you can see yourself. But these days it has changed. Technology keeps evolving. And so now you can see your image, yourself, taking a picture. And now we've gone to selfies where you don't even need a photographer. You can take an image of yourself and look at yourself and appreciate yourself. Image. What does it represent? It's a reflection of someone showing what a person is. And so today I'm going to continue with God's image with the title God's Image and Attributes. We've looked at images, what it means to us. Some people, we said, they live in a man's image. When you see a son who says he wants to be like his father, he's trying to live in the image of his father. Whatever the father had done at different times in his life, the son tries to replicate it or even do better. So in his heart, he's trying to become his father. We see it all around. Maybe you see someone whose father is a politician. You see the son is also going in the line. He also wants to become a politician. The father had served the public. He also wants to serve the public. Man's image. Trying to bring back the image of his father to fall. Some people live in their mentor's image. We said it last Sunday. this is my mentor. I want to do everything my mentor does. How he acts, how he talks, how he lives is what I want to be. They live in the image of their mentor. And some live in the image of their religious leaders. Some even try to live in their own image, pushing themselves to self-achievement and actualization. Let's go back to our guiding text, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And I'm going to read again to verse 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So God created everything and he created man in his own image. And in creating man, he wanted man to rule and have dominion. He said, subdue. Subdue. Not only will you have dominion, you will also have it over everything. Everything. So you are created in the image of God to have dominion over everything. So if there was anything that was making itself an issue for you, the first thing you need to realize is that you already been wired to have dominion over that thing. So even though it's an issue now, it doesn't change the fact that you have dominion over it. So you have graduated and you have passed all your exams. You have fulfilled all your requirements in the school. The Senate had approved your final score and class of degree and they've signed it off. But it is in the Senate building or in the admin block. Does that change the fact? Because you have not gotten and laid your hands on it, does that change the fact that you are not a graduate? It doesn't. You are already a graduate because it has been signed and sealed and delivered. It's just that you have not been able to pick it up. But anytime you go back, if there are any fees you are owing, maybe alumni fee or whatever fee, you pay it and you access your certificate. You now have an evidence to say, this is what I have achieved. But what God is saying this morning is, already in my creation, as I created you, you have been born to rule and have dominion. So do not let anything bring you down lower than that dominion status I've given you. So if there's anything pulling you down today, have it in your mind that you have dominion. You have been called to what? To subdue. You have been called to blessing. You have been called to fruitfulness. You have been called to multiplication. And that is the image that God wants you to show. So by your daily living, you are expected to subdue and rule. As you set out to walk, Bible says, everywhere the sole of our feet shall what? Shall get to. It has been given unto us as an inheritance. So if there is something God is telling you, oh, that is where you're going to walk next. When you walk in, you are walking in the reality of what God has told you. Now I have stepped my feet here. I have dominion. I am going to subdue. I have dominion. I am going to subdue. But when you walk without the reality of who you are, the enemy now comes, sees an opportunity to tell you that you cannot move beyond this stage. You cannot even make it. You can't graduate. Ah, you're not going to get married. Ha, you cannot grow spiritually. The enemy begins to give you thoughts because you have opened yourself forgetting that there is a word that came while you were being created. It says, and God created them, man and woman. And he blessed them and told them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue and have dominion. So don't let anyone tell you that no, you can't do this. If God has said it, then you can do it. In the creation of God, he thought about something. He spoke to the Trinity, let us create man in our own image. And man was created. Now ask yourself, don't you have the same? Don't you have the same power to think? You do. As you have, some of us here can create things. We create designs and convert it using fabrics to make people look good. Now you realize that you are walking in the light of God's creation. How he created you originally. He thought about something and he brought it to fore. You are also thinking about something, you are bringing it to fore. You're already having dominion. You're already subduing in your daily life. As things come up, as those ideas come up at your workplace and you bring up an idea and the idea drives the business forward, that is how you are what? Walking in the light of subduing and having dominion. So these things are not far-fetched. That's the reality I'm bringing to you. They're not far-fetched. There are things that are close by to you, things you do. As God was thinking about it, he made it happen. So he also gave man the ability to make things happen. Even though, of course, man messed up at the first instance when he gave Adam and Eve the ability to choose. They made the wrong choice. And that led man to fall. And that is why you hear something called the Adamic nature. That is the nature of your flesh. Subduing you and running your life. And when you come to Jesus, that's why he said, all things have passed away. All things have become new. You are now a new creature. And so that nature is being wiped off and you are recreated again in the image of God. When you are recreated, you are now expected to walk in the light of the image of God. So you first of all stand right. You are now expected to live right. Righteousness. And that is what God expects of each and every one of us. If there's anyone seated here that has not been recreated, there's no way. If you are not recreated by God, how can you live in his image? Because he was the one that orchestrated it. He said, let us make man in our own image. So there is no professor that can recreate you to the image of God. There is no artist that will sculpture you in the image of God. They don't have the power. Because he's the one that said it and made it to come. And after man had fallen, and God looked at it, okay, I'm going to give man another opportunity. I'm going to send my son, and he sent his son to show us how to live in the image of God. And Jesus came in human nature. To be with us, to live with us, to show us. And he served men from place to place. He served men. He gave us another example of how to live the life of God, the nature of God. So if you are wondering, how do I live in this God's image? Don't worry, go and read the account of Jesus Christ. From the beginning to the end, you will understand how to live in the image of God. Because that is a true example of someone who walked perfectly in the image of God. Even when Peter was very fast to act on his behalf and drew his sword and said, "Hey, you want to attack my master?" He had cut somebody's ear off. And what did Jesus do? The way God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Huh? The same reflection of love to an enemy. He picked up the hair and said, "No, now, this is not how we act. This is not how we act. In the image of God, in the likeness of God, we don't do evil." So he put the hair back. So if you are doing evil, it's showing you that you are not living in the image of God. If you're walking in sin, you are not living in the image of God, because God is righteous. So to walk in the image of God means to what? To live in righteousness. To live in righteousness. The life of God in the image is not physical. Some people try to say, okay, man, this is how man looks, and so this is how God looks. So they draw God and man to look together. So the women will feel like they don't look like God. Go back. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. "And God said, let us make man in our own image." Now this is where you get some people say, see what God said, let us make man. He didn't say let us make woman. But he was reflecting on mankind. He was reflecting on mankind. That's why in verse 27, it was clear. He made it clear. So God created man, and he was referring to mankind. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, created he him, male and female. So as a man is expected to be an embodiment of God's image, so also is a woman. Every one of us, we're expected to live in the image, in the embodiment of what God wants us to be. What does God's image reflect in us? Let me just run us through this. He had given us that mental ability to think. To think. Make a thought and create something. So there's that mental nature of God that we have. He has also given us that moral nature. Because God is righteous. And so man is expected to grow and live in righteousness. Number three. There's that social part of God where he wants fellowship. So he created man, and the Bible says he will come and fellowship with Adam and Eve. So God also wants you to have fellowship. Not forsaking the what? The assembly of one another. And God also wants man, as spiritual as he is, he has a purpose for everything. God doesn't do anything by mistake. And so, he also created man with purpose. And that is why you discover that you get to a stage in life and you're asking yourself, what am I supposed to be doing? Even if you're in a good job, you're doing fantastic, your salary is fat, you just discover there's something missing. You have not found your purpose. Haven't you guys seen women whose wife, whose husband give a lot of cash? They're just crediting their account. They're crediting their account. But the woman is like, there's something I want. I've not found it. Money is not doing it. Sometimes you see those women struggle with their husbands. I want to work. Not because she really needs the money, but there is a purpose she needs to fulfill. If she's supposed to be teaching children to become better in life, she wants to go and do it. It is not about the money. So even when the account is fat, the woman is not excited about the bank account because she has not fulfilled a purpose in herself. And you also find out, people get to a stage in life, they tell you, "Oh, you have great prospects. You're going to become the new CEO." And the guy resigns and says, "I want to go into ministry." Because that is his purpose. He just found his purpose. Irrespective of the fast salary, the official car, the official quarters, it didn't make sense anymore. Because at that stage, what you are trying to fulfill is purpose. So God has given man that spiritual nature. Number one, He gave man a mental nature to be able to think. He gave man the moral nature to live right. He gave man a social nature to be in fellowship. And in that nature, he also created a woman for him so that they can be together. And he also created man to be spiritual. Four. Let's quickly take a look at the attributes of the God image. The attributes of the God image. There are some absolute and exclusive attributes of God that no one is going to share that with him. We've seen people try that, but in reality, they don't survive because they can't be as God. God is omniscient. That's one of the greatest attributes of God. God is omniscient. And this is an absolute attribute. Only Him. Omniscient. He knows everything. Number two, God is omnipotent. Omnipotent. He has strength over all things. He has power over all things. No matter how big anyone is, no matter how powerful anyone is, God is more powerful. It has been tested. It has been trusted. It is not a fact. It is a truth. Not all facts are true. Not all facts are true. God is omnipresent. He is available everywhere, every time, everywhere, every day. That is why somebody in China will speak to him in Chinese and he will answer him. And somebody in India will speak to him in Indian language and he will answer him. And you in your village in Beyoku will speak to him and he will answer you. Omnipresent. Those attributes, they are the embodiment of the God image, but they are absolute. No one can share that with him. He is immutable. He never changes his action. When he says he's doing something, he's doing it. When he says it's time for this guy to show, to blow, you can't stop him. You can't stop him. There was somebody's testimony. Somebody had left the CV, gave him a CV. Nobody remembered the CV. He was just there. And there was a time they needed someone for something. Just looking through the office, they found the CV where it had been lying. They picked it up, called him, and they got the offer. It had been there for many months. It had been there for many years. But because God has said it is his own, it can be delayed, but it can never be taken away. Didn't Joseph rise to become the prime minister? Was he not delayed? But there was a process. He needed to learn some things. He needed to see some things. So whatever experience you are going through, just understand, it could be your process. As long as you are not in sin, you have not gone wrong, it could be something God is teaching you or using that experience to teach you about. Remember, I love that guy, Joseph. It's an embodiment for young people. If just read about his life. Take time, read about his life again. How will a beautiful woman come to you? In a place where you are just sure, you are confirmed. And remember, you'll be getting food. Big chicken. They'll go and get wine from inside to give to you. And the guy will still say, no, I'm not going to do this and sin against God. That's the kind of testimony I want to become. That I can look at something in the face like this, temptation in the face, and walk away, irrespective of the consequence. The consequence was not easy. Hey, to go to... If you want to know, those of us that were locked up during the lockdown, all they said was, don't go out. Oh. They didn't even use chain. They didn't put you in a dark room, small room. They just said, stay in your house. Some people were still finding escape route. Remember the video of the guy that paid a lot of money to come to Ekiti State, and his father sent him back. I'm not going to come. He had to pay through his nose to move out. And some of us have to fight our way. As soldiers there, is the police there? Let me quickly go, because we couldn't stand it. Imagine a young man who didn't commit a sin, locked up. Yet, he stood his ground. Yet, he stood his integrity. That is God's image. God is sovereign. He directs all events of life. That's another absolute attribute of God. And God is also eternal. Forever and ever, from everlasting to everlasting, God remains. But he has given us some shared attributes. Some attributes we can what? We can take and update it into our life. Absorb it into our lives. And our lives will be better. He had given wisdom. He had given holiness. He had given patience. He had given love. He had given grace. He had given us the ability to say the truth and be truthful. That is his nature. But he had shared it as an attribute for man to be able to take. Those are the things that we do that shows that we are living in the nature of God. Wisdom. Goodness. Righteousness. Faithfulness. Humility. Those are attributes of God that he has shared with us. And so, if there is anyone here who is thinking, how do I become God's image? What are those attributes? There are some that God has used as a defining line. These are not to be shared. That's those ones I spoke about earlier. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He is everywhere. He is eternal. That is God. But he had given you the ability to think. He had given you wisdom. He had given you the ability to love. He had given you the ability to be righteous, to decide. Choose you this day, Joshua said, whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are you willing to be righteous? You cannot live in God's image and be in sin. You can't. So if there is this sin in our lives, we cannot be in God's image. As much as we receive, we'll be throwing it back. It will happen as reflection. Bounces and bounces back. But what God wants to do is he wants you to absorb his nature. Like I described last Sunday, when you get a piece of foam and you soak it into water, weigh it. Maybe it's weighing 10 grams, 15 grams. When you soak it in water, it absorbs water. That's how God wants you to absorb his nature. Those things you are doing, ask yourself, with what I'm doing, am I living in the image of God? Will God be proud of me? Now. That thing I'm about to do, this thing I'm doing, will God be proud of me as an image for him? Or have I become a bad reputation to the image of God? Let us stand. We won't be able to continue next Sunday because of the prayer and fasting, but we will pick it up in October by God's grace. Let us pray. Just ask God, speak to him. What have I been doing that is not an embodiment of your image? Is there anything in me? Is there any sin in me? Has my flesh dominated me such that I am not living your image? And whatever it is, I come before you this morning to let go of them. I come before you this morning to turn myself around. I want to be recreated so I can fall back to live in your image. Just speak to him this morning. There is no other help anywhere. There is no other help anywhere. You can only talk to the man that created you. He thought about it. He said it and he made man. The Bible says he formed man from the clay and he breathed into his nostrils, and that breath became life. Everything he said, he did. Everything he did was beautiful and is still beautiful. I want to be an embodiment of your image. God is excellent. I want to be excellent. God is merciful. I want to be merciful. The wisdom of God surpasses all wisdom. I want wisdom. God is righteous. I want to live in righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Because you are changing someone this morning, and someone's life is getting a turn around. Someone's is being recreated. Is being reformed from his old nature into God's nature. Thank you. Because you are speaking to an heart this morning. There's a heart that has been yearning, that has been asking. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the turnaround. Thank you for the turnaround. Thank you for the turnaround. Thank you for the reformation. We appreciate you. And to every heart that has cried to you this morning, to every heart that is watching, that is listening this morning, that is saying, I want to live your nature. Father, forgive. Forgive all sins. And let us be able to walk straight to that throne of mercy. And let us obtain mercy. Forgive our sins, Lord. We want to live your nature. Help us to be as you are. You told us that you want us to be in your likeness, to do the things you do, to show forth your life in our lives. And this we ask that you touch all hearts this morning. And we'll continue to live in your nature, breathing grace, enjoying your mercy and your favor. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.